Brendan.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I mean, I've had better weeks, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, what's going on? How's your, like, why has your week been just meh?
Meh, you know, just meh. Like,
okay.
I don't even know what to say to that. Like, meh, it's just, it is what it is. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Writer's Block. My name is Brendan Morehouse.
And I am Jake Flukiger.
And this week, we're going to be talking about balance. So, Jake, how was, we talked about my week. How has your week been?
It is my first week back at work, and it's been a little exhausting.
Oh.
But I have survived.
I mean,
I know that is shocking.
That's all we can do. Just, you know what? I just need to get through this day.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all we can do, right?
Oh, and state testing is so boring.
Oh my God, I hate them. Hated doing them.
Yeah, I don't even get to take the test. I just have to sit there.
You don't even get the fun part of taking the test.
I'd rather take the test.
Filling in the circle. Like,
yeah. Except they don't do bubble sheets anymore or Scantrons.
They don't?
No, it's all online.
Ugh.
They've ruined another childhood memory.
Whatever. They don't even teach cursive anymore, so our education system has failed us. Like,
entirely.
I had a girl the other day at work, guys. I was excited because our show, the Writer's Block, is officially hit every continent, right?
Yeah.
We officially landed on every single continent. And I got super excited at work the other day, and I was like, look at my podcast landed on, we're on every continent. And she looks at the map because the map shows, like, the countries are colored. By which ones have done it, which ones have not. And she's like, wait, what country is that? Is that India? And I looked at her and went, that's Australia.
Are you serious right now?
I was like, oh my God. Like,
wow.
Like 17. You should know that. Like, okay.
Fancy.
I was like, okay, maybe I soaked in information better than some people, but you know, that's just how, you know, the education system is nowadays. It is
what it is.
Teach to test. That's all it is. No critical thinking. Anyways. Well, good. I'm glad your week is going better than last week, the last couple weeks. You've had a rough couple weeks.
I have had a rough couple weeks, but, you know, it has been going better. So that has been good.
I mean, you're getting some writing in, some editing, I see.
Some editing, some writing, you know, working on one of my friends' revisions and stuff. So
after last week's episode, I had a spark. The muse hit me and I wrote a whole chapter, two chapters in my new book, and I'm going strong with it.
And we love it.
And I love it. I'm so excited. Puts me over the hump of where I wanted to be for words, but I'm not there where I need to be for word count yet, but I'm getting there. Like,
yeah.
I can see it. I'm like, I'm getting there, right? So, anyways, tonight's topic is balance. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, please feel free to hit that mic button in the bottom left-hand corner of your phone. Jake, where can they be listening to us at?
Well, if you listen to us on any of the streaming services, that is awesome. If you especially listen to us on podbean.com and give us a like and a follow and even a comment, that would be even better.
Yeah, I mean, we're pushing big numbers on downloads. I think we're at 953-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, right in there. I mean,
Which is huge.
Huge for it being third season. To stop and think about what fucking season are we on? Like,
Brandon Morehouse.
I mean, whatever.
Brandon Morehouse.
As you all know, or if you've never listened to us before, we like to do an off-topic topic, right?
It's our favorite part of the whole entire thing, except when Brandon asks me, and then I have to, like, have anxiety through the roof because I don't know what he's going to ask me about.
Yes, that's the rule. The other host does not get to tell. The host asking does not get to tell the other host what it is. Now, I will say this. I did ask Jake a question to make sure he knew what I was referencing, unlike him last week that asked me a question, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't even
know. Oh my gosh. It was Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Give me a break.
I'm not bitter about it.
At all.
I'm not bitter. This is me being not bitter. So, Jake.
Yes.
On Disney Plus today, there's a new show that dropped.
Okay.
Can you name that show?
That's
not your question.
Well, I was, but that would have been nice and easy.
Okay. Okay. So X-Men 97 came out. It's a continuation of the original X-Men from 1997. One of Marvel's biggest hit shows, right?
Okay.
Loved it. I think a lot of our generation of gay people and a lot of people in general were drawn to that show because the X-Men were fighting for equality and they can't help who they are. That's just who they're thrown in these circumstances and they're fighting for equality, right? And that's what Stan Lee wanted when he originally wrote it. He's like, some people don't want these powers. Like, it identifies with a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about the main X-Men group here. Out of the main X-Men group, who do you see yourself as? I have one in mind that I'm like, yeah, I could see that.
Well, I mean, obviously, I would be Storm for all of my awesome emotional powers.
That's literally who I was thinking.
Shut up. It was not.
I was like, you're Storm. And listeners, who you identify with, put it in the comments and then we'll know who you are. You can say it when you come on. Feel free to put that on there. Yeah, I literally was like, he's Storm.
Like, shut up. You did not.
Yes, I did. When do I lie to you, Jake?
All the time.
I never lie to you. Shut up. I thought you were Storm because I'm like, Storm is incredibly powerful. She's an Omega level X-Men. And that's mentioned at one point in the show. Like, she's more powerful than what she's given credit for. And she's kind of badass and she doesn't know it. Like, I mean, she can control the weather. So there you go.
These are all wonderful things. I'm feeling so good right now.
Yes, you're Storm.
And who are you?
I always loved Gambit. Gambit was always my favorite.
I knew it was going to be Gambit.
You did not.
I did too.
So full of shit. No, I loved Gambit. I loved that he's such a flirt. Okay, so now real. I see. Now I see why you would call me like, okay, now I get it. I'm a total flirt. I'm a absolute. Some people call it charming. Some people call it flirting. Some people call it teasing. But I'm a total flirt, and I'm all about it.
He's a total flirt. Total, 100%. Just so you're aware.
You're a jerk.
I'm not a jerk.
No, you're not.
Gambit has marvelous qualities too.
Jeez. I love Gambit. He's my favorite. I love the sexual tension between him and Rogue. And yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
Love it. Anyways, yeah. That I'm going to be watching. I probably will be binge watching that show tonight.
I have heard from a good source that it's amazing.
Oh, I watched the first episode before we had this show tonight, and
shut up, you did not.
Yes, I did. It was 32 minutes and I screamed through parts of it. In excitement, like
Brandon Morehouse.
My poor neighbors are like, what the hell? Probably thinking somebody's getting murdered over here. Like, it's just the opening scene was like, the opening credits are amazing. That music just gets you. It's a generational thing. Like, that music just gets you going. Like,
well, I'm excited to watch it too.
Yeah. I'm super excited. I can't wait to go. Can't wait to finish the show so I can go back and watch it.
Wow, rude. And here, I thought you enjoyed this time.
I'm joking. Anyways, let's get on with the show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about balance. Because I think it's supposed to be like the spring equinox is coming, I think was my thinking on that.
Yeah. Sure. So we're talking about majorly the difference between over and under writing and finding balance in our writing.
Right. Okay. So let's start with basics. Jake, what is overwriting?
Well, overwriting is when you've written too many words.
Okay. What's underwriting?
When you don't have enough words.
Okay. Wow. We're going very simplistic today. I'm all about
that. We are going extremely simplistic.
Okay. You're throwing me off with that, Jake. Like,
and here's the reason behind that. Okay. The reason I'm going so simple is understanding whether you are over or underwriting has a lot to do with the genre that you write in and the typical word counts that are found, whether that is indie or traditionally published. There are kind of standards for those areas. And so I might have written a 40,000 word book, and if I'm writing picture books, that is massively overwriting. And if I'm writing adult contemporary, that is massively underwriting.
Okay.
And so it really does boil down to what you are writing and how that fits into the scheme of things.
Now, I tend to read generally more classic books, right?
Yes. Yes.
And they're very wordy. They're very wordy on when they're describing things, right? And
okay. So hold on. I want you to clarify there for just a second for our listeners.
Right.
Wordy as in they are using too many words for descriptions. Wordy as in it's an info dump. Wordy as in what?
Wordy as in you're spending too much time and verbiage on describing something that's practically irrelevant in the story. Like,
okay.
You're hyper-focused on this thing and it's not really super important, right? Like, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Okay.
They tend to do that, right?
For instance, and I'm just throwing this one out there.
Okay.
If I were underwriting about a tree, Brandon, what would I say?
I knew you were going to say a tree. I fucking knew you were going to say a tree.
Of course I was.
You would probably describe what the tree looks like or what kind of tree it was. You'd probably want to keep it very simple. Like, it was a simple pine tree. It was such, like... How tall it was and
Okay.
Well then teach me.
That's not underwriting.
Well, underwriting would just be like it's a pine tree.
Or it's a tree.
It's a tree.
You don't even have to tell what kind of tree it is. It's just a tree.
Right.
That doesn't give our reader enough information necessarily.
Right.
Now, what it would be overwriting for a tree.
All the details that I was going into, like, okay, and this is the color of the bark, but it was aged and it wasn't too old and it smelled like this. And but like, I fucking get it. It's a fucking pine tree. Like,
now here's the thing. If that pine tree is central to your story,
right.
Is that overriding?
I mean, depending on how much time you spend on it, like if it's a holiday story, like a Christmas story, you'd want to sit on how beautiful this tree is for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Not know how long to spend on that topic, right? But also you need to know when to move on.
You just hit on a key thing for over and underwriting.
And what would that be?
You just said that you need to understand when to write about something and when to move on from something.
Yes.
And that is a big, big deal when we are talking about these, trying to find balance in our writing is, okay. and the point is that as a writer,
yes,
thank you for laughing at that.
I knew what you were going to say. So I'm like,
I know.
He's trying to catch himself. Good on
him. I stopped myself.
You did.
So the thing is, you're supposed to laugh at that.
I was holding back from laughing because I didn't want to distract you anymore.
All right.
Get to the fucking point.
I don't even know if I remember what the point is. The point is that when you are describing something, when you're writing something in your book, in your manuscript, you need to understand its role or its importance in the story.
Right.
If it's something with a minor role, if it's something that's not that important, don't dwell on it. If it's something that's a little bit more important, spend some time on it. That's basically what it is to find balance, but that takes time to hone that skill.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, and it really depends on, again, what genre you're writing, what perspective you're in, like your POV makes a huge difference in the detail that you can add in or the lack thereof.
Right. I think, and what I've seen from a lot of the material that I've read that are new authors getting into the game, right? They tend to overwrite. And I've done it. I think we're all guilty of it, right? Like, oh my God, I got this great idea, but I need to create the world first. So you have this huge long prologue like going on and on and on about it, like creating the world, and you're like, okay, I fucking get it. The world's in a disaster state.
So
I don't need to know the entire backstory of how we got there. You can sprinkle that out throughout the story, right?
Well, you bring up a good point too, in the sense that there is a big difference between overwriting as an info dump and overwriting as in we're trying too hard,
right?
And overwriting, especially as a first draft or a beginning author who's trying to put in too much too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three very distinct things in my book.
Yeah. But I think it's overwriting, in a sense, is good because you can see the world or you can see this scene very clearly. Like, you want to make it very clear, almost to the point where it's like it's a movie, right? But if you go and read some of these like big hit books, yeah, they describe it, but they don't spend too much time on it. They describe it and they move on, right? Move on with the story.
Yeah.
I don't need to know all this. You can tell that later on and add that to the story as needed, right? Like,
well, and there are specific writers, and this goes back to another one of our topics that we've chatted about before, which is writer voice.
Yeah.
And your writer voice, there are certain authors that are out there and they don't mince words. They literally use only the amount of words that they need to get the point across. And it's very clean, very tight writing.
Right.
And then there are those writers who are a little bit more elaborate and that dive into things a little bit more. And at the end of the day, you end up with really wonderful books of both types.
Right.
But the ones that really stand out are the ones that tell a good story.
Obviously. Duh.
Duh.
Duh. Like, I think of, like, Michael Crichton.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big Michael Crichton fan.
Huge.
Of his stories, I should say. Not whatever. I feel like he tends to I don't want to say overwrite, but he sets the tone of the world. But he the world that he are creating, like, you do have to know all this information and get a general idea, like an idea of what's happening, especially, you know, when you use Jurassic Park as a very big example, of how Engine got where they are. But he goes a step further and he creates this this happened, and like goes through the history of that company when he's telling that story, and you're like, I don't need it. By today's standards, that would probably not work.
It might be considered as overwriting.
Yes.
David, hop on here. What's up?
So since we're on overwriting, and I'm an overwriter, definitely, I thought I'd jump in real quick for the drafting stage for first drafts and whatnot. If I were to recommend one or the other, I'd recommend overwriting for a couple of reasons. One of them is it's so much easier to take away from a work than it is to add to it, especially for me and people who write like me, because when I write a novel, I'm kind of in a headspace, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the emotions. I'm in the head spaces of these characters. And once I'm done with that novel and whatnot, I step out of that headspace. And sometimes it's very difficult to get back into that headspace. So if there's anything that I've left out of the story, whether it's details
or emotions or scenes or anything like that, it can be very difficult to get back into that proper headspace in order to add to the story what needs to be added to it. Whereas if I've overwritten, if I've thrown everything but the kitchen sink into this, I mean, just gone on and on and on ad nauseum about something, it's so much easier to just peel back, you know what I mean? Pull stuff out, go, oh, well, I've repeated this 6 times. Let's just kill this, 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 and this.
Which you're killing the ideas and not just your characters, because I know you write horror, so.
That too. You know what I mean? That too. Yeah. But yeah, so you kind of can you kind of see what I'm saying? Sort of the drafting stage, and whether or not it's better for process-wise. For some of us, overwriting is the way we kind of survive.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't overwrite, I've actually run into this before with a novella that I'm plugging around right now. I wrote it incredibly tight, right, to fit a call. A very narrow call and whatnot. The limit was like 38,000 words, and I made it, but the way I wrote it, I'd have to rewrite it to expand it the way I wrote it. You know, I didn't overwrite it. I underwrote it. And that's why I overwrite, so that when I go back to something later, I don't have to get back into headspace. I don't have to pull something apart by its bones and its muscles and its skin. I can just kind of trim the fat. That's overwriting to me.
Yeah, no, you bring up a valid point of like, if you're in the zone, get it on paper, right? Just get it in there, because you'll catch a lot of it in editing. And what I tend to do is like, oh, I really like this. I like how I worded this and these details. If it doesn't fit in that scene, or if it's like, it's too wordy right now, I can't move on with the story, I'll cut it and I'll put it in a separate document. And like, I'm going to hold on to that for later. I might find a better place to put that. Oh, and then I'm not losing it, but I'm just moving it I'm saving it for somewhere else in the story.
You don't kill your darlings, you hold them hostage.
Yes.
You might need them later.
Right.
That's true. So we have a lot of people who are overwriters, but we also have a lot of people out there who are underwriters. And for them, it might work really well for them to say, I just need to get the story out on paper, and then I can fill in the details as I go along afterward. So it really boils down to you as a writer. And that's another point that I was going to make, is that whether you are an over or an underwriter doesn't matter.
Right.
At least in the early stages.
Right.
What does matter in finding that balance is in the revision state.
Well, and I think it matters on how you write what your writing process is. And I hate saying that, because like, it's part of my process.
Oh, like, well, we're not being all like bougie.
I know, but that's just how it goes in my head. Like, it's part of my process. Anyways. Like, I will write random scenes and then I'll end up connecting them. But there are some authors that can write the story in the way that they're reading it. So it's literally just a little bit at a time. I find that process a little bit slower. But if that's what works for you, then that's what works. So it's just, you're writing as like you're reading the story, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay.
That makes sense to me. Brandon, I'm going to use you as an example.
Son of a bitch.
You knew this was going to happen. It happens every time. I don't know why you're surprised by this.
All the time.
I know. It's good learning experience for all of our listeners.
Okay. Go ahead.
With your first book, were you an over or an underwriter?
Oh, total overwriter. Absolutely overwriter. And there was stuff in there that I was like, ooh, that did not need to happen. Like, that chapter could actually go away. Like,
we could just scrap that. No worries. So with that being your first book that you wrote, do you feel like it was a good experience to be an overwriter for that first book?
You know, I think writing my first book was an overall good experience. There's definitely things I learned from from that process that I walked away with knowing this is not how I want to do this, right? Or this is how I want to do this, etc.
Okay. So,
sorry, my dad's calling me.
Do you need to take that? Because you can.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I will call him back after I get done with the show. Okay. He made me lose my train of thought. Thanks, Dad.
It's all good. So first book, you had things that you liked, things that you disliked, but you were an overwriter on your first book.
Yeah, I think there was things that, like, I was trying to say in my story that it wasn't working in the way that I wanted it to when it came out. And it didn't resonate as deeply as I wanted to. And I think I could have worded things a lot more precisely because I was trying to be like, you know, be like an author and just, oh, explain this like this, blah, blah, blah. And it's not working the way in my head it did.
Okay. Okay. So take that, Brandon, and compare it to the one that you're working on right now. Over or under, writer?
It's under. It's definitely under.
Okay. And how do you feel about that as far as this process goes?
You know, underwriting to me, I had a much clearer vision of what I wanted my first book to be like. This one, it's I have a vision and I have a story in my head, but there's been a lot of, as I've done it, there's like, oh, no, that would work. There's that discovery phase where it's like, oh, the story's evolved and it's completely taken a different route than I thought it was going to. And I'm actually really enjoying that because it's like, oh, this is actually much cooler than I thought. And it's much deeper than I thought it was going to be. And I'm okay with that.
I love discovery writing so, like, much.
I'm excited. Like, those chapters that I've written, Jake, you know nothing about these new chapters. And there's
no, a revelation
in those chapters that I was like, holy shit. Like, that.
One of those where the characters
so
are
much
like,
better. Like,
oh, hey, here's this idea.
Yeah. And it kind of came to me the other day when Jake, you and I were talking. I had watched a movie and I was like, I'm not going to say what movie it was because that's irrelevant. But I was like, I enjoy the, like, it's not a series. What is it? It's like, I enjoy the.
The episodes? The.
No, it's whatever. Yeah. I enjoy the intellectual property and I have enjoyed it for many years. But I was like, but this one didn't have what I wanted or what I was expecting out of the storyline. And I said, it's much too fast of a pace.
Okay.
A lot of
okay.
movies and books like that now are, they're so quick. They just move on, move on, move on. It's like, sometimes you just got to take your story and just slow it down and let the character be the character for just a second. It doesn't need all these like stuff going on around them. And that's where these new scenes in my head were like, God, that would be such a great scene. It's a great spot for them to just self-reflect of what kind of situation they're currently in.
Okay.
And I think that really helped me, like, okay, I think I've probably added like 5,000 more words into this story. I mean, I'm at about 50,000 right now, and I would like to be around 70. So I got a little bit of ways to go, but I know I can flesh it out. It's just finding those right spots where it works.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that you've got to this point where you have both been an overwriter and an underwriter, which do you prefer?
Oof, that's tough. That's tough. I think it's easier to be an overwriter because I tend to overthink things and I'm like, get it all on paper and then I can pull that out as needed. But with the underwriting, I feel like it's the story. I don't know. I feel like I would rather be an overwriter.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong answer. I mean, that's.
Well, and I think Jason's an overwriter. I think David's an overwriter. Just from reactions that we're getting from them.
Yeah, it's big time.
Big time. I know M's an overwriter. And also with the overwriting, you can And I'm going to bring up one of M's things that she does and kind of call her out for 5 seconds, because I'm calling out so many people right now, including myself. And that is the fact that if you have too many subplots, it can lead to overwriting.
Yeah.
Which can be difficult to extract those and take them apart, especially because you've worked so hard on them. There are so many reasons that you can be an overwriter. And I think that there are those people that are really, they play to their strong suits. Like Brandon, you're an awesome person to talk to about dialogue.
Yeah.
But you can be an overwriter in dialogue.
Yes.
And yeah. So it's, again, it's what we're talking about is finding that balance of not completely overwriting, not completely underwriting, finding that sweet spot in all aspects of our writing.
Yeah. I think it's just like when you overwrite, you just, again, is this, am I dwelling on this subject for far too long?
Yeah.
Like you have to learn to be like, it's moving on. I need to move on with this, right?
Well, so. And it's making sure that each piece has a chance to shine. Our descriptions be overdone? 100%. They can absolutely be overdone.
Yes.
And I'm going to pick on my favorite overwriter of all time, Mr. Charles Dickens, because he goes off on these tangents of things for like pages and pages and pages and
ever,
ever long. And by the time you're done with it, you're like, what? What was the point of that?
Yeah. And then you're lost. Like,
and
wait,
then you're lost because
where was I in the story? What was happening? Right.
Yeah, like, then you have to get back into the story again. Yeah. And so, like, and don't get me wrong, Dickens is an amazing writer.
Yeah.
But he overwrites descriptions.
By modern standards.
For his time period, that was brilliant. It was what was needed and necessary and normal. So,
yeah.
There are other writers that are really heavy on dialogue. There are other writers that are really heavy on the emotional beats or the internal thoughts. There are so many things where you can be an overwriter. And we need to just kind of say, okay, these are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. How can I balance all of that?
Right. And I think that's tough. And that's where it just takes time and practice, right? Like
Brandon Morehouse, don't you dare say those dreaded words to authors.
Well,
how dare you?
Get the fuck over it.
Because what does it take? Time and practice.
Time and practice.
I hate
that. And I know he's like, Jake's like looking at me like, yeah, Brandon, it takes time and practice. Like,
fuck. Wait, Brandon, what?
Fuck you.
Why would I be implying that?
Because I am like, I want this done. And I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. And that's rich that Jake's laughing at me right now.
A little.
Jason's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we all know how you
are. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Hello, okay,
let's go on a tangent of how many times you post those little, hey, what am I doing in this place?
I love my what are we doing here? I love my ones like that. I fucking love it.
Yeah. How many places have I had a napalm explode or destroy? Like, where the hell do you get those damn pictures from?
No, I don't worry about it. Like,
it is one of Brandon's many talents.
I fucking love those things.
And if I had a nuke, I'd probably nuke half of them.
I've had so many people that are like, oh, that's a great inspiration for a scene. Like, that's why I do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I get that's what you're doing. But, I mean, I just have to poke fun at you because that's just
– Oh, me. I know. And I usually like to find ones that are a little bit scary. Like,
oh, well, that's, you know, that's how I write. That's my brain process.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, did we just both say I love it at the same time?
Yes, we did.
Oh, you owe me a soda.
We are so morphing into the same person.
We're like twinsies. We're like the Wonder Twins. Power activate. You would be form of water, and I would be like, because you have to have some sort of form of water.
Okay.
One of them is a form of water.
Hot air.
I'll take that. Like
that was brilliant. Oh my gosh.
I feel like Em is chomping at the bit to get in here and say something because I know she's got some snarky remark.
I have nothing.
Oh. Em, this might be a first.
Clutch my pearls.
You better clutch those pearls. Because this is astounding.
I love it.
It's kind of weird.
It is.
Not going to lie.
So, Jake, do you consider yourself an overwriter or an underwriter?
So, my process is a little bit backwards and upside down.
Okay.
Because I do a lot of my writing and revising at the same time.
Okay.
Which everybody's like, just get the first draft done on paper. I can't do it. Like I needed to read correctly when I'm writing it.
there's that perfectionist side.
I don't know what you're talking
about. That you were laughing at me about.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never ever do such a thing.
That's full of shit. But okay.
Pretty much, yes. But I own that wholeheartedly. And so I would consider myself a middle of the road writer.
Such a cop out.
Well, there are times that I will write things and I will delete part of it. And then there are other times that I write things and I come back to it three paragraphs later and I add to it. So okay. I would say I'm an over and an underwriter. It just depends on what chapter I'm on and what my mood is.
It depends on this. I mean, there's so many things that influence that, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, like if inspiration's not there, you're like, I'm underwriting this because it's not there. I don't feel that scene.
Yeah. And so... Because my process is so intensive as far as doing it as I go, it's not really fair for me to say that I'm an overwriter or an underwriter.
That's okay. That's a fair statement, I guess.
I will say that I am very cognizant of word counts and genre and everything. And so to me, it is something to where like my agent hasn't said, oh my gosh, you've overwritten this, or oh, you've underwritten this. Like I'm pretty on par as far as word count and stuff goes for where now, I'm at genre wise.
Now you said earlier word count, right? You're very particular about your word count.
I am, and part of that is because there is, whether you are indie or traditional, there is a general rule for where things fall that readers are expecting from certain genres.
Okay.
And so by understanding that and by understanding the word count that you have the ability to work with, you can take that and say, okay, now I can break it up into my three act structure or my four act structure and hit all of my plot points that I need to and right. understand where those are going to fall and where they need to be.
Okay.
Jake?
Yes.
Bite me.
There's that
that's
bit.
Back. That's what we were waiting for. I love it.
Word count.
He's so particular about word count, and I get what he's saying, but it's like, so I fear like sometimes when you've written a story, right, it's like, especially if you're an underwriter, like, well, the story's done, and they're like, well, you're not hitting your word count, and you're like, well, now I have to add to something to the story that might not need to be added, right?
Yeah. That's or
where
or
I,
we haven't fleshed out the emotional beats and the internal thoughts and everything like that. And so write the story with what the story needs, But right. Understand that that story needs to be relatively within a certain length to be considered within that genre marketable. And as much as I hate to say it, like you can go out there and you can write a 300,000 word novel. Like, go for it. Absolutely. Is it going to be super marketable? Probably not. And the marketability is what we're really looking at as authors, because we have to look at this as a business, not just as a creative endeavor.
Right.
So that's where I'm coming from as far as word count goes.
What's in your background?
Are you talking about the sound?
I think sounds like you're opening a vortex into a space-time continuum.
I think that might have been on M's. Can you hear it now?
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there? Okay.
I don't know. It could be my end, but it's only every time you key up.
Well, that's unfortunate. Jeez.
It's weird. It sounds like a vortex opening in space-time continuum.
I don't hear anything.
I'm just curious, how would you know what that sounded like?
how do you know
that's like a distortion in a FM radio field? Actually, I can get you a recording if you really want to hear it.
Oh. That's fascinating. Why do you have a recording?
Yeah, like when people say this tastes like, I'm going, how would you know?
This tastes like shit. Here, you should try it. Why would I want to do that? And how do you know what that tastes like?
Exactly.
What?
Oh my gosh.
All right. Now, I want to talk about pantsing, not, you know, bullying a kid on the playground.
Yes. Now. Very nice.
How do you work within your creative energy and still not overcreate? Because in a thriller, every time something seemingly is going great, something has to fall apart.
So I think that's where you have to kind of learn how to self-edit and understand the ripple effects that is going to happen if you have X, Y, and Z happen. And so if you can start to get a feel for the aftershock, the after effects of this action that you're having your character do, then all of a sudden you can say, okay, this is going to ripple out into about 20,000 words before it peters out and the surface of my story is smooth as glass again, or till the next thing happens. And so you kind of have to start judging ahead of time and saying, I could add in, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but instead I'm only going to add in Q, R, S.
That's not how my brain works. Now, in my first book, I have like the plot, of course. And I have four subplots. And they happen naturally.
And that's exactly how you want those subplots to happen, is we want them to happen kind of organically. They just are part of the story. And so kudos on that.
And then the second one, I had, you know, the main plot. And I had three subplots. The third one, I'm going to tell you right now, it's causing me to have murderous tendencies. I just...
That happens all the time. Just take deep breaths and you have to vent. You know, go to the gym or something like that. That usually works.
Have a margarita.
Well, I mean, it's a serial series, which means it's a continuation of a story.
So
to get to the big reveal at the end of the last book, but
and it's always a pain in the ass this, to have to kind of keep all those things together through all your books. I know,
but it's not just that. It's like the third one has been such a struggle. I just want to throw my hands up and go.
I'm having the same problem with myself. So my two books that are out, I'm double dipping my time. I'm editing another book, and then I'm writing the third one for the two that are already out. And I am having the hardest time in the world trying to write it. I know I'm dividing my time, but I can do that. I'm me. But
wow.
Yeah.
Superhero, you are.
I know.
I love it.
But I have to refer back to the last two books for this to make sure everything's accurate. And then I have to, obviously add a new story, and I don't want to repeat some of the old story, even though all the characters are basically the same. They're just a little bit further along in the timeline now. And, things have changed. People have grown. They've evolved and all that stuff. So you have to reflect that now. So the mindset between the first book, two books, to the third book, they're not, they're the same people, but they're different people. So you have to kind of look at it through that perspective also now too. And so, all the way back to overriding, sometimes, when you're writing it out, you're trying to incorporate things from the previous books into this to kind of show that it is the same person, but yet differently. And you have to get into the detail because people want the detail from the other ones. This is the same person from the first two books. Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that. He's doing this now. Hey, how great. Oh, yay. Yum. Lovey, hubby, hugs and kisses and all that fun stuff. And,
Jason,
you had me until you started saying hugs and kisses.
That's the funniest thing I think I've ever heard Jason say.
I would say, like, is the third one the third, like, the final, like, one before the reveal?
No, this, my contract's for five books. And it's the middle one, so it's also where the legacies kind of take over from the originals.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because I left the characters for so long, I just can't get into them anymore or what, but it has been like there's nothing new in the creative process. It's just fuck me. I just don't know.
You just hit your block, right? Like,
I finished it. I don't know how freaking good it's gonna be, but I finished the damn thing,
which is incredible. Congratulations. Yes. That's a big deal.
That's big.
And I also feel like, especially when you're talking about series or writing a serial story, whether those follow specific characters all the way through or it's a rotating cast, you end up with this plot, basically the overall arching plot for the entire series, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and your cast gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so when you look at, and I'm going to use this just as a quick example, is like when you look at the Harry Potter series, the first Harry Potter book was pushing the word count limits for middle grade. It was like 79,000, I think. And every single book from there on out just got bigger and bigger and bigger because you had to add in so much more to the story, to everything else. And so it's easy to overwrite as you continue to dive into the same world, the same characters, because there's so much more that needs to get fleshed out for progress to happen for these characters so that they actually have an arc.
And I mean, I thought the first one, did very well because the first one's got, it's got the main job. It has to set the world. It has to set the scene. It has to introduce you to the characters. Right. It has to do a lot of stuff. But when you get to the middle book, it feels like I'm supposed to be hitting a crescendo of some sort.
And see, I would push your crescendo to book four.
I just feel like it's falling flat.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would do, like, lay the groundwork to really start making things clear where your story is headed. Like, we now have this, like, bad guy, like, whoever it is. And that's kind of where they're really introduced in kind of what their plan is. And then you, like, in the third book. And then in the fourth book, that's when your characters meet their low point, right? That's when they hit their lowest. And then they come back in the fifth book or however route you want to do it. Like, that's where I would do, that's how I would do that.
Just do what King did.
Written. I just have to go through the rewrite.
Kill a whole bunch of characters, Em. That'll solve your problem. Kill a whole bunch of characters, and that'll just get you going. That's what King did on The Stand.
It takes away half of your cast, simplifies things that way. They're out for revenge. There's your new plot point, you know?
I need another plot point
Oh, I know.
We're trying to solve problems. I see your boredom.
But I mean, my favorite part is, you know, creating the little mysteries that continue the story and giving tiny little hints or solving this mystery in this chapter, but picking up on another one in, you know, whatever chapter. I love that process, but I have overplotted myself into freaking, I hate this book.
You and your breadcrumbs.
I love my breadcrumbs. I know
you love your breadcrumbs.
You leave those breadcrumbs alone, Jake.
Well, it's, here's, ugh.
And you can't say anything because you've never read my book. Know, so
I've seen your board. I've seen
my murder board.
Your murder board.
I love that you call it a murder board. Let's just.
Oh, I love that. I love those.
I love that you call it a murder board.
And I have a map of the United States that I stare at, and every case that, you know, has a target agenda is assigned to a ghost. So
I mean, you're not the map. You're not being red flagged right now by the FBI, like at all.
Oh, I know that the NSA has been in my computer, like, so you can already go on
monthly
with that.
Checks on M. Templin's computer.
They know
guarantee.
I'm a writer. Like
monthly might be a little underscoring that. So
I keep waiting for the little black vehicles to show up in front of my house. I think that'll be quite of an experience.
It'll give you new writing fodder.
It's usually an SUV, just so you know. Just saying.
On my street, I would be the talk of the town in like 5 minutes.
There's him. The NSA is out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love it.
They're like, we all knew she was weird. They're going to be digging up bodies in her backyard.
Oh, you leave bodies? Oh. That's cute.
That's cute.
I would never admit one way or the other.
That's why you eat the evidence.
Gross. Ew. Steven.
You know, that'll give you brain injury.
Oh. Next episode.
Consuming human flesh will cause brain problems.
That's why you don't eat the brain. You just
we have issues. This group, we have issues.
I'm okay with it. You'll never get a conversation with my son on why some animals look the way they do, because he told me why the vulture looks the way it does yesterday, and I still can't get that out of my head. I want a Brillo pad.
I'm kind of curious, but I have a general idea of what your son's going to say. Like, it looks the way it does. It's because it sticks its head in an animal's ass to eat the inside.
That's exactly right.
Rock on.
They actually are born with feathers, but
yeah.
I'm going, no, I can't
You're
deal.
Welcome for that.
So are vultures over or under writers?
They're inner writers.
Bring it back around, Jake.
I mean, yeah. I feel like they're overwriters.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
I feel
like they're editors.
Ooh. Actually, that's nice. Better. They are definitely editors because they cut out all the unnecessary fat from the body.
Touche. That was brilliant.
No, they consume your entire self-esteem.
Jazz hand.
Em is like, she's in a mood. Like, she's like, I'm in a, like, I'm going
to. Well, you started it. You called her out. It's like, hey, why are you not doing this? And now she's just getting back at us.
This is your fault.
Yeah, that's fine. It's all your fault.
I'll pick on Em. That's fine. We can go.
Em's going to win.
You can't handle it, Brandon. Girl,
I'm pulling back right now. Like,
Brandon, it was
don't so pull nice the punches, life. Brandon.
I love how no one's on my side. Everybody's like, oh, Em would destroy you. Like, I don't know. But okay.
Brandon, yeah. Em has a murder board. Who the.
Yeah, I mean.
That's just sloppy work.
I know, like 16 different ways to use home products to make explosives.
Oh, you do too.
And this is why the NSA has her on a list.
Do you know you can use Gain laundry detergent?
That's terrifying.
Everybody knew that. We just didn't tell Jake.
I was going to say, I have biologics. That doesn't know this.
I feel like we need to have a whole episode of like how to murder somebody.
Oh, that would be so much fun. Please.
I think you should add that to episode 4.
Season four, you mean?
Season 4. That's what I said.
The murder episode.
Actually, I'm going to add it right now. For our Halloween episode, we'll say how to get away with murder or something like that.
I love it.
My son is really good with math, so you already seen us this past summer when I was trying to get a barn to explode, but I needed the explosion to be hard enough to knock a truck off the road. I mean, we had all this math going on and how much we would need and what kind of product we would need and what needed to be in the barn to make it happen. And it was crazy.
You might be my hero.
Welcome to the writer's block.
Yes.
And the writer's world.
Welcome to the writing world.
So what did you come up with? Nitrate?
And unfortunately, my husband was going on the same day to buy fertilizer for the yard, and the card would not work.
They were like, no.
Yeah, I would do like a plutonium nitrate or something like that with maybe a a gasoline based igniter or something like that.
Well, what we actually came up with was a tractor exploding and blowing up all of the fertilizer from the farm animals.
All right.
I am terrified by all of
that. Did you know that horse shit will burn for 3 hours?
No, but I can see it.
This got
horse patty will burn for 3 hours.
Off topic,
Brandon.
We're going to start and end with an off-topic topic.
But so now you have to learn how to write and over-exemplify into the writings. Like, so we took the match and we lit it up and we put a little bit of gasoline onto the shit. And then we hit the line and it went up and poofed. And there was a big ball of stinky smoke that filtrated the air as it came around. And
you need to just hush.
Shut your mouth.
You're putting me to sleep.
Who wants to hear what cereals burn?
Oh my gosh.
Do
what? Who wants to hear what cereals burn? Because that's a fun one.
Do you know that the cheese that comes in the little plastic wrappers will...
All right, I'm muting you all.
Oh my gosh. All I have to say is...
We are out of time.
You people are marvelous.
We love you all. We are out of
and
time.
And we could not do this show without you. So please come back next week because this is... such a highlight for me.
Yes. Save it for our Halloween episode. Em's going to be pissed at me. I'm going to get a message here in a minute. Like, how dare you cut me off? She probably already said something.
Anyway.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this past week's episode for Balance. Jake, where can they listen back if they haven't been part of the show?
You can listen to us on any of the streaming services, or you can head on over to podbean.com, check out the Over the Writer's Block, and give us a like, a follow, a comment, That way you will keep notified and up to date of all new episodes that come out.
Yeah. And next week, Jake, do you know what we're talking about next week?
An amazing topic that Brandon will tell me.
Shut the hell up. This was a request from last season.
Ooh, fun.
Yes. So next week, we're going to be talking about Pushing the Boundaries, Volume 2.
Yay.
So
that is a fun one.
That is a fun one. That
and
one
that is so many opinions and so much fun stuff.
Yes.
So please show up next week for that one. It is so much fun to talk about Pushing the Boundaries.
Yes. And I will try not to mute everyone again. Although that was kind of fun. I will say that was kind of fun to mute everybody.
It's like, wow, you have so much power.
Like, done. We're done with this conversation. All right, everyone. We will see you next week. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.